Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass.
Driven with SunPass.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Welcome inside the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli is on assignment in Hawaii. It's not a bad assignment to have. Pro Bowl week, we'll visit with the big man coming up. And John Ozer from Jaguars.com, back from the Senior Bowl, as am I. We'll get a recap of the week in Mobile for the Jaguars staff, at least so far. The final full practice of the week today for the South team this afternoon in Mobile. That's new music for the intro. New show, man. Jaguars Thursday.
I was about to stand up and start dancing. I mean, nice.
Were you? Really?
No.
Can you balance with that sling?
Yeah. I can cut it, man.
Yeah.
Just like Joe. But that was kind of high energy.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm hyped up now.
Yeah.
Hyped up.
You should be. All that coffee you did.
Yeah, all day, every day.
Peace.
Plenty to get to tonight, of course. Let's start. Yeah. I haven't seen you in a couple weeks, man. You guys had the... You had the surgery. You
yeah.
The knife.
Yeah, doing
We've
good.
We've been gone.
Yeah, doing good. Doing good. In fact, I was trading texts with Dr. Kaplan, Kevin Kaplan, mm-hmm. the surgeon at JOI. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Oh.
And, not taking any pain meds, maybe a few Advil every now and again. So it's all good, man.
Nice. Yeah. And recovery in what, 6-7 weeks you get the sling off?
Yeah, something like that. 6 or 7 weeks in a sling, and it's about a 5 or 6 month rehab.
And that's surgery number 17 for you, is that right?
No. It's surgery number 8, but if you counted the procedures, okay. You know, there's multiple procedures on a couple of them that I've had, it would be probably procedure number 11, you know. But, it's no big deal. I can tell you this. I've been through a shoulder surgery before, and this is probably the best I've felt, you know, after one, you know, this soon. You know, I mean, I got a long way to go. It ain't like I'm going to be, you know, pumping iron like Arnold or anytime soon. But, you know, it's feeling good.
You only work out like 2 hours a day instead of 4.
No, I'm not allowed to work out. They I was under strict orders to not sweat until I get my stitches out. And so you gotta follow that because you can't play around with any kind of risk of infection.
Oh, yeah. That'd be bad.
That would not be good.
That would be bad, in fact.
Because if you get an infection... That's from what I hear is that if you get an infection around, you know, surgical incisions, then you could have a deep infection that could affect basically everything that you just had fixed, which would not be good.
Plenty to get to tonight. Of course, we'll go out to Hawaii coming up next segment and visit with Tony Baselli about Allen Robinson's appearance in the Pro Bowl on Team Irvin.
Team Irvin
for this week's game. But
I got a question because I don't know the answer to this. And I watched a little bit of it. You know, Odell Beckham was, I think, the top wide receiver taken off the board. Julio Jones was soon to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Where did A-Rob fall in the draft order of wide receivers?
Great question.
He was
probably down.
He was down a little bit there,
right?
Joe.
He was next to last.
Okay, who
wide
was
receiver.
Who was last? That's like the worst thing in the world. It's like going through the NFL draft again, like Aaron Rodgers. Sat in the draft room.
It's like you're on the playground
forever.
Getting picked last.
Who wants to be picked last, even if it's at the Pro Bowl, for God's sake.
Well, he didn't get picked last. That's positive.
Yeah, but I know who was the last one that got picked, though.
We'll find out.
As a wide receiver.
We'll find out.
It'd be interesting to know that.
Yeah. Well, good for you. I mean, got in the game. Should have been in the game to begin with, first of all. Calvin Johnson had no business going in.
First of all, Michael Irvin and Jerry Rice, I guarantee you those guys couldn't tell you anything about Allen Robinson other than his numbers. Because I bet you that they didn't watch him play.
Well, I know Irvin was banging the drum a little bit right after the vote that A-Rob should have been in. But as were many people in media.
Based on
then,
numbers.
Because they
but
knew the
but
numbers,
I'm talking so. About laying their eyes.
Watching tape.
Watching the film or the games and saying, hey, look, this is what this guy has to offer. You know, and maybe he wouldn't have been drafted second to last or wherever he was at the bottom of the totem pole in the wide receiver group. You know, because I can tell you one thing. If I'm picking a team in the Pro Bowl and it's about winning – you know, which the Pro Bowl I wouldn't say is about winning, but if it were about winning, I would have very, very strict guidelines as far as drafting guys. Mm-hmm. The first timers, you want to take all of them you can get. because they're anxious to play. You don't want a grizzled vet because you know what he's doing there?
He's
drinking Mai Tais at the pool, okay? And he's going to get by on the game. You know, if it's his, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh Pro Bowl or whatever.
He's going to tap the other guy on the shoulder and say,
he's not there to give you all he's got. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Now, and to me personally, I think the Pro Bowl should be thrown out the door. It's a waste of time. I mean, it's football.
I think I watched one drive of it last year, and it was just not enough for me to keep watching.
No, they don't even play hard. What do you got, Joe?
I want to thank J.K. for letting me know. We all love J.K. He's a wonderful guy. Ty Hilton, picked last.
T.Y. Hilton.
Okay.
T.Y. Yeah.
Okay.
And he was a replacement as well. He came in the roster late.
Yeah, and he kind of had an off year with all the quarterback things going on in Indianapolis, and there was plenty of issues there because – Andrew Luck was throwing T.Y. the ball all the time. And then when Hasselbeck gets in the lineup, he doesn't have the arm to throw it to T.Y. Hilton. I mean, he would literally have to, like, have a two Mississippi count of getting the ball and throwing it to be able to throw it far enough to where T.Y. could run under it.
Yeah. There you have it. We'll have more on the Pro Bowl coming up. Senior Bowl coverage on Jaguars.com. Check it out. Senior Bowl Central is still up. All the videos from this week. The first team meeting with the South team from head coach Gus Bradley. That's in there as well. He was mic'd up for that. Todd Wash, one of his first meetings with the defense for the South team. That was cool to watch.
I watched that because, you know, I wanted to see, you know, because when you have a guy who has taken over as the defensive coordinator, now he's in the front of the room. And you have to have a little special quality about you to be in the front of the room. You got to be able to command attention and command respect and also to be able to deliver an effective message. And so I was very anxious to see how Todd did in the front of the room. And I thought he did a great job. So I'm looking forward to having a front of the room guy as the Jaguars defensive coordinator because, in my opinion, Bob Babich was not a front of the room guy. If he was a front of the room guy, he would have stayed in the front of the room in Chicago and he would have stayed in the front of the room here. No offense to Bob, a great guy and knows a lot about football, but you got to have a special quality to be in front of the room because you're dealing with all position groups and. You know, more leadership qualities, you know, but it's got to be unique in today's day and age. It's got to have something. It's got to have. I'm not saying pizzazz or zip or what, but it's got to have
some authority.
It's got to have something.
Gonna have some juice, man.
And Todd's got it.
I just thought about this. He was promoted from within after the interview process brought some other candidates in.
Kind of an odd process now,
is it?
Well, I mean, if you're a candidate and you're in house already and you're under contract. And you're the defensive line coach, and you're sitting in on somebody else's interview that's trying to get the job that you would like to have. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It sounded like Gus made it seem like it wasn't like that, you know, that everything was out on the table.
Yeah, but JP is still weird.
It's still like that.
Yeah, that's still weird. And so I don't care what Gus
like
says.
That, but it's still
I don't care what Todd says. It's weird. And I'm sure it was very uncomfortable. But, you know, I mean, I give Todd respect, you know, for, you know, the one thing I will say is that I think if you ever think that you're done learning at any level, then you probably need to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Todd sitting in with these meetings, he can learn a lot about scheme, X's and O's, different thoughts on philosophy and coaching. So, I mean, I'm glad he did it. But at the same time, it's still got to be weird. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And now that he's been promoted from within, does that change the dynamic in the building with him at all, you think?
How so?
I don't know, just with the coaches that he was alongside, now he's over, does that change the
sure it does.
The relationship
sure it does.
A lot?
I mean, he's their boss, you know? His relationship with Dwayne Walker will be different, you know? It will still be – it won't change their friendship or anything like that, but it's going to be different. Same thing with the linebackers coach, Robert Saleh. It's going to be different because if you're going to be the leader, then you have to demand and expect more. And so with that demand and that expectation being higher, then sometimes it's not going to be backslap having fun. Sometimes it's going to be, you know.
A rear end chewing.
Yeah. Or a foot in the butt.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way it is, the way it should be.
By the way, Aaron Whitecotton promoted to assistant D-line coach. They have not filled the D-line coach's job. Sounds like Todd's going to stay on as D-line coach as well, at least in the interim, right?
I still think that they need to bring – I mean, a defensive coordinator, to me, if you're going to have the impact of the coordinator in all position groups, you need to have that guy have the ability to float into all the meetings. And I think that it would be wise of them to bring in, whether it be another assistant defensive line coach or a defensive line coach, I think that that would be good.
Okay.
Because what you're trying to do, I mean, you don't want to – I mean, because if he stays in the defensive line meeting room, you know, does the dynamic change as much as it could with him going to the DB's meeting room, you know, once a week, or the linebacker's meeting room?
Yeah.
You know, I think you got to be able to – and Aaron Whitecotton's a good coach, and he's going to help. But you've got to be able to have maybe one more guy to where if Todd wants to be somewhere else, he can be somewhere else during practice, during meetings, or whenever.
Back to the Senior Bowl. You played in the Senior Bowl, right?
No.
I
played in the Blue-Gray game, which is no longer
in
existence.
Right. Yeah, it was in Montgomery at Crampton
in Montgomery, Alabama, and that was pre-Christmas. And then I played in the East-West Shrine game, which at that time, the East-West Shrine game was actually a really good college all-star game. The Senior Bowl, when I came out, was looked upon in a negative light because it was full padded practices. I mean, from a player's standpoint, I mean,
the risk of injury,
you know, was strong. Whereas in the East-West game, the practices were, I think we had a couple padded practices, but the tempo was not as demanding, the contact was not as demanding. If I remember right, the Senior Bowl, I think, actually had two practices a day.
Two a day?
Yeah. I think they had two a days back then.
That's how we do it in Alabama, Jeff.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now.
Yeah,
let's get real.
You know what my thought was? That's how they can do it in Alabama.
I'm not going.
Because I'm not going.
I'm out of there. We'll come back in a moment. Tony Boselli will join us from Hawaii. You can win a pair of tickets to the first event to be held at the all-new amphitheater and the 2016 regular season home opener at the upgraded U.S. Assure Club in the State of the Franchise Grand Prize Sweepstakes. To register, go to Jaguars.com. Don't forget, watch the State of the Franchise live on Jaguars.com tomorrow. Coverage begins at 11:45. The presentation at 11 o'clock right here on actually on Jaguars.com. So watch that tomorrow. The full presentation coming up. Exclusive coverage. More Jaguars Thursday. Driven with SunPass after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. State of the Franchise coming up tomorrow, 11 o'clock, the presentation begins. We'll go on air on Jaguars.com at 10:45. So join us on Jaguars.com tomorrow morning. Should be a big one. Let's go to the phone lines now and welcome in the pride of the Jaguars left tackle, Tony Boselli, in a place he knows very well, Honolulu. What's up, Tony?
Oh, just leaving the practices and heading back to the hotel.
Practices
along the coast here to Oahu.
Practices in air quotes, right? Practices?
Yeah, it's not. It's like it's a joke. It's even worse than when I was here. I mean, at least we had helmets on. We went through like some stuff. They don't. No helmets, tennis shoes, glorified walkthrough at best.
It's the way it should be, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm indifferent. The problem is the game's gotten not very good either. It's a problem.
Yeah, but here's a question that I got for you. You're calling the game for Westwood One?
Yes, it's going to be an award-winning show. I got Kevin Kugler play-by-play.
What do you talk about during the Pro Bowl?
Oh, we're going to break down X's and O's. Talk about the, you know, Y seam, X flat, comeback route.
I like it.
Post.
Dog blitz.
I'm just going to make up terms just so the listening audience gets entertained.
So you go to practices all week. What else do you do?
No, wait, stop, slow down. I'm not going to practice all week. I'll do one practice. And I only went to that because my boss made me.
So what are you going to do the rest of the week?
I'm going to lay on the beach and read books. I'm on my diet, so I can't – I'm eating healthy. And so, just hang out.
Yeah, but you can. I mean, there's some very good healthy food in Hawaii.
I'll get some great fish and fresh vegetables and fruits. It'll be great.
Wow. Mm. Sounds like
outstanding. So, you know, it's really good. I saw Allen Robinson, talked to him for a while today.
How's his mood, man? He's got to be just ecstatic to be out there, I guess.
Oh, he's great. And it was good. I was sitting there talking to him, and Merton Hanks, the longtime safety defensive back for the 49ers, who's now in the league office, came up to A-Rod as I was talking to him and gave him a very nice compliment, saying he should have been here as not the first alternate, but as the guy. And so I think, you know, Allen is a guy who's starting to get some respect around the league from people who know football.
By the way, Merton Hanks has the longest neck on any human being I've ever seen, and he had one of the most incredible dances.
It doesn't look
dances.
As long now, Jeff.
Really?
I think he's like got neck reduction surgery or something. It doesn't look as long as he used to. Remember when he was playing that neck, he'd be wagging that head all over?
Yeah, he'd do the head
dance when he had an interception. Yeah, it was weird, yeah.
Yeah. Good guy, though.
Tony Vaselli with us.
I don't know the exact number, but it's got to be 20 or more of guys that are at the Pro Bowl now that weren't voted in. So,
no,
I mean,
it's more than that, Jeff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's 20 plus. So is it really the Pro Bowl anymore?
No. I've been saying it here. The Pro Bowl is no longer the elite players. I remember when I was playing, I mean, if you were a first alternate, it was about a 50-50 chance you were going to get in. I mean, it was really – I mean, most guys came and played. Everyone came and played unless you were really hurt.
Right.
And that's not the case anymore. Now it's before it's before the Super Bowl, obviously. So anyone in the Super Bowls, some of the best players in the league, aren't going to play. The Patriots had 9 guys elected to the Pro Bowl. All 9 backed out. We're all the way down. You know, let me give you the quarterbacks. Tell me when you – Stop me when we get to an elite quarterback. Tyrod Taylor.
No.
Jameis Winston.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Carr. Russell Wilson, very good player. Eli Manning, very good player. And I can't even think of who the other one is.
Yeah, but none of them are elite.
If you can't think of them, they're not elite.
I mean, there's no elite guys here outside of Russell Wilson, probably. And now Eli's very good, but I don't consider even Eli elite.
I wonder how, you know, players have in their contract Pro Bowl incentive bonuses, and so for guys like the seventeenth alternate, yeah, and 17 guys back out, and he gets in the Pro Bowl, does he get the bonus?
Yeah, you do.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And you get
I'm not disparaging anybody. I'm happy for Tyrod Taylor. But if you're telling me Tyrod Taylor is a Pro Bowl quarterback, I mean, come on. Is he even in the top 15 quarterbacks in this league?
And does he get to actually attach, you know,
yes,
a Pro Bowl player?
Pro Bowl player.
And see, that ain't right. That is not right.
How does Blake Bortles not go in front of Tyrod Taylor? He had like 12 touchdowns.
Well, Blake couldn't have gone anyway. He's got the thumb injury, remember? Fracture.
It doesn't matter. I mean, he could have faked it. Come down here. I mean, they don't do anything. I mean, seriously. But, I mean, the Pro Bowl is now like, okay, you had a pretty good year. You can go.
Yeah.
The 10 guys in front of you decide not to show up. This is all breaking stuff news right now because I can't say any of this on the broadcast.
No, you cannot.
I will be very pro Pro Bowl.
You have to sell it hard. Sell it hard.
What a showcase this is.
Because the NFL will come down and yell at my boss, and then he will yell at me.
Yeah, that would not be good. But if you were at home and you weren't, and you're not there. Let's say you didn't get the opportunity to go call the game. Would you turn the Pro Bowl on?
No.
Me either. I'm not going to do it.
So here's a question, Tony. How would you change the all-star idea in the NFL?
Great question. I got a bunch of ideas about what we could do here. One, because of the fact that if you're going to keep it between the championship games and the Super Bowl, then you have to change the format completely because not enough guys are going to go. So if you're going to do that, make it a future stars game. Maybe you get the youngest players of the league and make it back and forth. Another idea, what if you got the best rookies and second-year players on one team and went and got the best college players and had the best college players against the young players in the NFL and had an all-star game?
Nobody's going to want to risk the injury, though.
well, the young players, they don't know any better. Absolutely.
And their agents do.
What a great way for the college players to make a name for themselves.
Yeah, but the college because players aren't going to want to do it.
The college players would love to.
Go harder than the NFL guys.
Look at the Senior Bowl. You can't even get the elite first rounders at the Senior Bowl.
Okay, let's say you took the Senior Bowl and you took the best 40 guys off both rosters. You have a pretty good team.
Yeah, it's decent.
The young guys, and people would watch it. It'd be exciting. College. The young pro players would go harder than they typically would because they want to get embarrassed by a college kid. I mean, I think it'd be great. Or not have a game at all and just have an award ceremony somewhere.
That's it.
And do like Battle of the Stars and
Like the old All Stars
competitions and stuff like that.
Well, don't they have the NFL honors the night before? Super Bowl now.
It's the night before Super Bowl.
Do the honors this weekend. Do the NFL honors this weekend and have a skills competition. And if you make the Pro Bowl, they fly you to wherever and give you 3 days and treat you like a king. It would save the NFL money, and the players would, I'm sure, love it.
Now, here's a question. There was the rumor that it could be moving to Brazil or something like that. Would that entice people? Copacabana Beach.
Brazil?
Yeah.
If it goes to Brazil, I would not go because you're going to get some disease or Zika. The mosquitoes are going to bite you and you're going to, die of something. Or you're going to,
You're
not
scaring people, Tony. Isn't the Olympics coming up in Rio?
Summer.
Tony, come on.
They said the World Cup.
The Olympics are there, and they're afraid to put the people to swim in the ocean because the sewage level is so high.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Wow. That's accurate, actually. Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth. I'm not making this up. I'm just telling you. I don't think Rio would be the best place to have a Pro Bowl.
I remember reading that story about a year or two.
I mean, there's got to be a better place than that. Or we go to Mexico City and risk y'all getting kidnapped.
Oh. Maybe go up to, like, Alaska, where it's cold and bacteria won't thrive, where it's cold.
I don't think any of the pro players can go to Alaska, Jeff. I mean, I don't think that's the
have
top
snowball
place right now.
Instead of the Pro Bowl.
Listen, I guess at least the guys are playing harder the last couple of years. I think there's more effort. Remember, like, 3 or 4 years ago, they stood around and watched each other. So there's more effort as far as game day. But I just, you have so many guys who back out who aren't even injured. If a guy's injured, I get it. We have guys that just don't want to be here.
Here's
it really waters it down.
I don't know, and I would get. I mean, if you're an elite player, what do you benefit from playing in the Pro Bowl?
Because guess what, Jeff? If you're an elite player, you get named to the Pro Bowl. You get your Pro Bowl bonus.
It's not worth it.
Well, you get a bonus from your team, and then you get a piece of the game action, right?
Yeah,
and a small piece.
it's not.
Uh-oh, we're losing Tony.
Yeah, $17 million.
Yeah, I mean, compared to we got you now. But I mean, compared to a game check, what these guys could make in a regular season, guys making $15 million a year, so he's making nearly $1 million a year, and he's going to risk injury for what the Pro Bowl? What does winning team make? Tony, 60-70 grand. Something like
somewhere
that.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. I mean, if you're making a business decision, I'm not trying to say that that's not a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
A lot of money, but compared to
your earning potential as a professional with the team that you're with, that's a pretty significant risk,
Yeah, you can go to Hawaii anytime you want if you're an NFL player anyways.
Hey, Tony, what's your weight down to as we finish with you here?
Yes. I never announced what I started at. I started at 346. 346. 20 pounds.
How many?
22.
Down 22 already?
Down 22, yep. Wow. 904.10.com. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on the air, but I just did.
You just did, and the folks on the beach will love you this week because you're down.
I don't know
22.
If he's ready for the beach yet.
No, I still got a ways to go. We're still at 324. We got about another 50. We'll be happy.
Oh, good.
All right.
Progress, man. Progress.
Well done. Have fun in Hawaii and call a great game this weekend.
I recommend tune in to Westwood One. It'll be the greatest Pro Bowl broadcast ever. Led by Kevin Kugler. I mean, he's award-winning Kevin Kugler.
Yeah, and put
Tim Barker is producing it, one of the best in the business. It'd be great stuff.
Put that on your resume tape, Tony, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you, boss.
See you. It's Tony Baselli from Honolulu. Republic Services. is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. More Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPast after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. Glad you're with us tonight.
Good to be here.
Yes, absolutely is.
You missed last week?
Yeah, I was in Birmingham last Thursday.
Yeah, you were out of town. I was
under the knife.
Consciousness, yeah. And Baselli. And Prisco,
that's right.
Man, the studio. How'd that go, by the way, yeah, Joe?
I got to listen good? To that. It's archived on the website, jaguars.com, last week.
I have to go back and listen.
We had a little role-playing.
We did.
As our general manager came in.
Oh.
David played the part of the media.
Oh.
While Pete was the GM and Tony was the head coach.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And every time that the general manager and the head coach said something that the media guy didn't like or shot something at him, David's stock answer was, well, what do I know? I'm just a media guy.
Very nice. Check out the archive. Good.
Yeah, look at the archive. Go back on Jaguars.com.
Listen to that.
On Jaguars.com.
How long did the real general manager sit in?
About a half hour.
Good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, good.
It was nice of him.
Check it out. Speaking of Jaguars.com, we'll have coverage of the state of the franchise tomorrow. We'll start at 10:45 with our coverage. 11 o'clock, the presentation begins.
And right? Who is that?
Shad Khan? No, Mark Lamping, you might have heard of him. I don't know.
No, I'm talking about the 10:45 to 11 o'clock.
Oh, that's me.
Okay.
And Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier, who joins us now on the phone line. What's up, Johnny? I haven't seen you in forever, right?
It's been a while. Yeah, I was listening to what you guys were saying before I came on, as I was on hold for a little while. But it strikes me that Prisco has actually thought he was a GM since about 95, right, Jeff?
Yeah, matter of fact, he has. But, well, wait a minute.
That's a good role for him.
Well, I think his title was actually general manager president.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to him, I think he was wrong back in 96 was the last time. So,
yeah.
He's on about a 20-year run of being right. So.
Johnny, you and I were in Mobile with Patrick Cavanaugh, Dave DeCandis the last handful of days covering Senior Bowl practices. The Jaguars coaching staff, of course, there again for a third straight year coaching the South team. You know, we've talked about the approach on Jaguars.com. It's not necessarily about the prospects and individual guys there. It's more about the Jaguars staff, the new faces and new places, and how they interact with some of those players, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what we can do well. I mean, it was interesting to talk to Dave and Gus and even Todd Walsh. I got a hold of him right before we left practice last night. And it was interesting, as you talk to Todd more and more, I think we'll get more and more of a feel about how he's going to differentiate himself from what was being run last year. And I thought it was interesting today when I wrote last night about him really feeling the need to make sure they're less predictable defensively. And he talked about disguising some things, maybe not showing quite as much pre-snap. I think over time, you'll see little things that he believes they need to emphasize. So that was interesting to talk to him about that last night.
I'd mentioned a little bit ago, John, that the most important thing that Todd Walsh can bring to the table, so to speak, is a front of the room presence, because, and I'm not trying to knock Bob Babich and kind of repeat myself here, but Bob Babich never came off to me as a guy that I would want, if I were the head coach, to want to have in front of the room. Whereas Todd is a guy that I would feel very confident that he can be in front of the room and command a lot of different things.
Yeah, he's definitely got that. I kind of think that maybe Bob was different in the room than he was with the media or, you know, publicly. But I certainly think that if you want a defensive coordinator out of central casting, you know, Todd Walsh has a lot of those qualities. And it certainly seems like he's very aware of that. When he was talking about the need to be black and white and very detailed and very, you know, very clear with the players on what is wanted, I don't think there's any question he's got that. So, you know, Jeff, you've known Todd maybe better or about the same as I do. I think he's ready for it. You know, I know he hasn't been a candidate in other places, but I definitely feel like he's focused. He's the guy that clearly is on the same page with Gus in terms of, I don't think there's any question that they both know every last fundamental of this defense. And when they're talking to each other about this defense, they're going to be speaking the same language. And I'm wondering, Jeff, how important you feel that is.
I think it's incredibly important, and I'm looking forward to watching Todd lead a unit, because I think the difference is going to be significant. Now, we had talked earlier, and JP had asked me about this. You know, Aaron Whitecotton is the assistant defensive line coach. I believe that Todd Walsh, as a first-time coordinator, should have the ability to have a presence felt everywhere when you're making your imprint on a defense. From your conversations with Todd Walsh, has he mentioned to you the desire to bring in a defensive line coach at all?
He hasn't mentioned that. The two people who have talked about it more, I guess he mentioned it in his intro press conference, but in terms of me talking to him yesterday, he didn't mention that. Dave and Gus both, you know, the approach right now seems to be, if they have an opportunity to find somebody who sort of knocks their socks off and they feel like will be a big improvement, then yes. Otherwise, I think they like the idea. You know, I guess they want to feel like there's going to be somebody who brings more to the table than Todd would in the role that he's playing. And I think they're sort of tentative about, let's not put somebody in that room who's not going to really improve things. So that's sort of the stance right now. But I get the idea they're maybe looking to see if they can change that, if that makes any sense.
Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier with us on the phone line. Check out Senior Bowl Central coverage on Jaguars.com right now, including mic'd up segments throughout the week and all of John's writing from Mobile, Alabama. One of the pieces you had, John, was a visit with Keenan McCardell, who was in attendance, of course, at the South practices, both practices each week. There are hundreds of personnel, scouts, assistant coaches, college pro levels, media folks ringing the field, and among those was Keenan. And
yeah.
You had a chance to visit with him and discuss the future a little more about the wide receiver position here.
Well, Jeff, this won't surprise you, but Keenan told me he was open when I talked to him.
And he can still play at a high level.
He can still play at a high level. You know, and obviously Jeff knows Keenan. But, you know, it's always great to see Keenan because the enthusiasm that he brings for it and his passion for it. I walked up to him and said, hey, you know, what's going on? It's always good to see him. And I said, hey, what do you think of these receivers? And I went to turn the recorder on after he started talking because he really genuinely likes these guys. And it was neat to hear from him how much of a connection he feels with these two, meaning Hearns and Robinson. And he really does kind of feel like there's some similarities with Jimmy and Keenan. You know, they felt like they had something to prove all the time. And he feels the connection that, you know, Hearns and A-Rob do too. And I was standing there when he was talking to Jerry Sullivan about it, and he was telling Jerry, he said, hey, man, you've got a couple right there, and you're doing a great job with them. And so he feels a connection to these two, and I think he really feels like this is the first time since him and Jimmy left that the Jaguars have some receivers who are going to be big-time players for a long time and, you know, maybe pick up the tradition where it left off, you know, what is it now, 13 years ago.
Where is Keenan at now professionally?
Well,
he
was in Maryland last year.
Okay.
And he was there, you know, like a lot of people at the Senior Bowl, trying to get in, you know, trying to talk to people, trying to network. It's a tough spot at the Senior Bowl because there's so many people there looking for jobs. I think at some point Keenan's going to be a really, really good coach in the NFL. I don't know how soon that'll be.
Right. So he's looking for work.
Yeah, and I didn't specifically ask him about it, and I should have. I was kind of listening to him talk about the receivers, but I know he left Maryland, and to my knowledge, has not picked anything up yet.
Yeah, so, I think the last I heard that he had moved back to Texas and was awaiting an opportunity, which there's a lot of opportunities. He'll find something. He's a good coach.
Yeah, I think he is too.
John Osier with us. Tomorrow, Johnny, you and I will be on Jaguars.com starting at 10:45 in the morning for an 11 o'clock start of State of the Franchise. This is always a key event in the off season the last few years.
Yeah, and it's the old thing. What's striking is every year at this thing since Shad Khan took over, there's been something of significance and really not made up. There's been something real to announce in terms of this franchise taking a step forward off the field. And tomorrow, I haven't seen any blueprint for the presentation, but I imagine they're going to talk a lot about the clubs and this new facility going on. And once again, a major step forward in what's going on off the field. You know, Jeff, you were around for the period of time before I got back, 2006 through 2011. What a difference, and how impressive is it that he's been able to do this? I don't think we would have been sitting here in 2011, Jeff, when I got back, anticipating being talking like this in 2016.
No, it is truly incredible. And, you know, you brought up how every year it seems like there was something that was new. And something, when I mean new, it didn't necessarily have to be in the grasp new that was going to definitely happen, but there's always seems to be something new as far as the vision.
Right.
And so that's the thing I think that I look forward to the most in the State of the Union thing is that, okay, give me an update. Want to get an update on what the progress is with the clubs, you know, the amphitheater that's going to be going on. And then what's the next vision? Because, you know, the vision that Shad Khan and Mark Lamping and the organization that they've had, you couldn't, I mean, 10 years ago, John, we wouldn't even have thought anything even like that, some of the things that they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I came back to a team in 2011 that, you know, it makes sense. There was old ownership. It felt a lot like the, you know, a team that I had stopped covering in 2001. It was a new coach, but the building was very much the same. And again, 5 years later, it's just a remarkable transformation. It feels in every sense, except so far on the field, like a young team on the rise. And you know, to be able to establish that, to be able to change the stadium, which they've done sort of on the fly, I think in 5 or 6 years, when you have the advantage of time and perspective, people will look back at this time of the Jaguars and write large stories in national publications about how they were able to change the face of a franchise that was struggling on the field into a solid thing. It's a remarkable thing that I think over time will get a lot more credit nationally than it has.
Well, John, I feel like I haven't seen you enough lately, so we'll see you tomorrow morning. How about that?
Yeah, how's the arm, Jeff? You doing all right?
Yeah, doing great, Johnny. I'm going to be one-handed for a little while, but I'm doing good.
Well, good deal. I'm glad to hear it, and we'll see you at some point very soon.
There he is. Jaguars.
I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, guys.
Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier joining us on Jaguars Thursday. Get the latest transportation news and information on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month at 12:30 on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. We'll look around the National Football League and talk Super Bowl when we come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Check out the Hanania Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. Jaguars Thursday, final moments. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. Thanks to Tony Vaselli in Honolulu. Going to practice, air quotes.
Practice.
For this Pro Bowl. And he'll
talking about practice.
The broadcast on Westwood One coming up this weekend. And, of course, John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer. Join us tomorrow on Jaguars.com for State of the Franchise coverage starting at 10:45. The presentation begins at 11. Mark Lamping will join us pregame, if you will, and Shad Khan scheduled to join us postgame right after the presentation.
Very nice.
So check it out tomorrow on Jaguars.com. Let's look around the National Football League. I don't know if you heard, Super Bowl 50 is right around the corner. The Panthers and the Broncos. News this week on the Panthers side, linebacker Thomas Davis, a broken arm. He had surgery Monday. A plate and 11 to 12 screws, he said, to repair it. He's still planning on trying to play. Can he play with that?
I mean, he put wood together with screws and you know, angle iron, right? I mean, it's, I think
you're made of wood now?
I think it's wild. I mean, I was talking about this earlier in the week, that if Thomas Davis plays the game, it's going to go down as one of the most heroic efforts ever in Super Bowl lore. You know, going, I mean, the guy that played with the broken leg from the Rams. Mm-hmm. What was his name? Youngblood. Youngblood.
Jack Youngblood.
Youngblood did it. Yep.
T.O. had like a knee injury or foot injury here, didn't he?
T.O. had
screws in his knee.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so, I mean, this is great stuff. I mean, and he's a heck of a football player now. He is a heck of a football player. And so I'm going to be anxious to see if he plays, and I'm also going to be anxious to see from the Carolina Panthers standpoint if Jared Allen is active.
Because he made a big fuss last week about not being in there.
He made a fuss, but it wasn't an unprofessional fuss. I thought that what he said was good. In that it wasn't demeaning, it wasn't about him. It was just saying, hey, look, you know, I want to play, and anytime you can't be out there for your teammates. It wasn't about him. It was just about a desire to be there for your teammates, and I thought he handled it very well. But that might also be a statement, not necessarily about the injury with Jared Allen, but his level of performance that he's been producing, because some of the other guys that they have, the younger players that they have with the Carolina Panthers, from some of the games that I had watched earlier in the year. Now, I don't know about later in the year when Jared was playing, but early in the year, Jared Allen was not playing at a level that justified him being active when he first came to the Carolina Panthers.
We were talking about injuries in the Super Bowls. Don't forget hangovers in the Super Bowl. Max McGee, back in Super Bowl I, had a massive hangover after going out the night before the game and had a huge game for the Packers. Well. But that's way back in the day.
And I'm hoping that, you know, typically you have a two-week layoff. The Super Bowl, those Super Bowls sometimes aren't as good, you know. And I'm hoping that that doesn't happen. I'm hoping it's a very entertaining game. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the Carolina Panthers handle it. Yeah, I think, you know, the Denver Broncos have a very strong veteran presence across the board.
They've been in the scenario before.
And, you know, DeMarcus Ware and Peyton Manning and Von Miller, a little more veteran presence than the Carolina Panthers, which but the Carolina Panthers are right now, I think, are the better team. The way that that offensive line is playing in Carolina and the way that Mike Shula is handling the talent on the offensive side of the ball, I think, is fantastic.
Is Mike Shula going to be a head coach in the NFL?
You know, that's a great question. I think at some point he'll probably get an opportunity again. And I think that the recognition that he's receiving for the job that he's done with that offense, which is Cam Newton, Jonathan Stewart, an offensive line that if you broke them down piece by piece, you at the beginning of the year you weren't overly impressed, and a wide receiving core that was considered unsatisfactory
at the
beginning of the year.
I remember you talking about it, sure.
You know, so give him a lot of credit. He's done a great job. I mean, and if you go back and you look at the job, I think he's probably going to get an opportunity at college level again. I mean, Nick Saban, did he or did he not win with a lot of Mike Shula talent?
A few years in, yeah. Those seniors on that championship team in 2009 were
his recruits,
guys. Yeah,
you know. Right. So you know, so I think he's going to get another chance. And the last name doesn't hurt, right? I mean,
right.
He's a Shula.
That's right. And the whole Alabama situation, of course, probation. He took over a team that had limited scholarships and had a 10-win season at one point.
He did, and I think the one thing though that Mike has to let go, that I got the impression when he was here, is a bitterness towards that. And just my personal opinion, I thought that he harbored a lot of bitterness to that situation at Alabama.
To how it went down at the end? Or just the whole 4 years?
I think how it went down at the end, and then also the image that it portrayed of him. And then he's got to get over that. and he's got to get over that hump if he's ever going to be able to come back and then to be what many would consider a strong candidate again.
Because he did a very good job in Tuscaloosa, though the results came a lot later. So who you got in the game? You got Peyton in his maybe his last hurrah, or you got young Cam Newton?
You know, I mean, a perfect storyline would be that Peyton wins, you know, for the NFL. That Peyton wins and he rides off into the sunset into retirement.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, you go back to when the Patriots won their first Super Bowl, when our country was involved in some issues overseas, and the Patriots win the Super Bowl. You know, so I mean, the perfect storyline would be that Peyton Manning wins and then he retires. But I just don't see it happening. I don't. I think the Carolina Panthers play too good of defense. I think their offense can neutralize their defense, which it is a fantastic defense, and they can neutralize it with the rushing attack and then also the threat of Cam Newton as a runner. And that's probably the one offense in the league that can threaten that defense because you can't account for the quarterback as a running back in most defenses that are played in the National Football League. So it's going to be an interesting game.
That is a large human being at quarterback for Carolina.
You know, when you watch him on TV, you know, because I mean, I saw Cam Newton on television before I saw him in person.
Yeah, sure.
And on television, he doesn't really do it justice. But when you see him come out for pregame warmups, and you're standing 10 feet from him, your first impression is, oh, my God. He is a quarterback? Because, I mean, he looks like a defensive end. I mean, he's 6'5", 250, and put together. And he's doing a marvelous job of keeping teams off balance with his legs and with his arm. He's got an incredibly strong arm. And it's going to be fun to watch to see how he and his relatively young team handles that game.
We'll have more Super Bowl talk coming up next week. Good to see you, man. It's been a little bit. Glad you're doing well.
Get some rest. Nice coverage in Mobile.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks to Tony Vaselli, John Osier, and for Joe Fortunato and everyone involved. For Jeff Lagerman, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.